Thanks, Duane. Good morning, everyone. My name's Matt. Great to be with you this morning. We're continuing our series in Deuteronomy, so please have that open, Deuteronomy 7. But let's pray. Let's ask for God's help as we come to His Word this morning. Gracious Father, we thank You that You are indeed a God who continues to speak even today through Your powerful written word. And so as we look at it, Father, we ask for mercy that we might hear Your voice, that we might not leave here unchanged, but Your word would be applied by Your Spirit to our hearts, that we might be for the praise of Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you really realized how selfish our world actually is? Have you come to see what is normal for this world? Self-focus and self-reliance. A couple of weeks ago, I experienced this in all its fullness in a car park in Joondalup. I had found a park at the Joondalup shops, and it was packed out. I put my indicator on, I found this park eventually, and someone did the terrible thing. They zipped in and took the park off me. I think it was a little Hyundai or something like that, probably a Hyundai. Now that tells me one clear thing about humanity. It is selfish. But it's not just that that guy took my park, but what happened in my heart at the very moment. I had some very selfish thoughts about what I might do to him. A similar thing happened when I was on the train. I don't go on the train much because I'm a Perth boy and I drive wherever I want to go. But I was on the train and it was stopping at the station. Again, it was packed out. Everyone moved to the door. They pressed the little button and it was crammed. Everyone was pushing to try and get in front of each other. And I experienced something that I don't often experience because I'm tall and ugly. But someone pushed me out of the way to get in front of me. And actually, we kind of all started pushing each other to get in front of each other. I even did the fast walk to get in front of some people to the escalator. Now, there's some very trivial examples of a massive problem. When we walk out there, we walk into a world that is selfish. But more than that, I know it because it's in my own heart. When I wake up in the morning, who's the first person I think about? When I'm shown a photo, who's the first person I look for? It's me, isn't it? Our world is dominated by an innate tendency for every single person to be self-focused and self-reliant. But it's worse than that when you bring God into the picture. It gets much, much worse. For people who want to bring God into their lives and make Him the best thing, the first thing, not themselves, the opposition gets bigger and stronger. It's more numerous and more mighty. We find that everything around us is constructed in opposition to everything of God. So here's the big question for us this morning. How are we going to live in a world that is dominated, completely opposed to God? What are you going to do when you wake up on Monday morning, or when you even just leave here after this and you enter a place that is in complete opposition to everything you believe in? More than that, it's in complete opposition. Everything is constructed to absolutely go against everything you stand for. What are you going to do? You might get a bit worried. You might get a bit scared. You might want to withdraw. It's intense opposition. Surely we'll get a bit shaky. Well, this morning God tells us very clearly, don't be afraid. Imagine if you were parachuted into enemy territory, and there you are parachuting down, and you've got your gun and you've got your pack and you've got some of your mates around you, you're parachuting in, but you know the enemy is massively outnumbers you and they are powerfully outgunning you. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're more mighty than you. How would you feel? What about if you emigrated from one place to a foreign land, say the land down under? Australia. And you turned up and they all speak a weird language. They don't say car park. They say car park. And the traffic lights aren't called robots. They're called traffic lights. What they actually are, traffic lights. And they play this weird game. But it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. It's called AFL. How would you feel? Everything's foreign. Everything's against what you are used to, what you believe in. They don't even have milk tart or biltong. How would you feel? God tells us this morning, don't be afraid of a world that is in complete opposition to the God you believe in, to everything you stand for. Don't be afraid. Over the past few weeks, we've been working our way through the book of Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 7, printed there in your handout. And I reckon Deuteronomy is a bit like a coach's pep talk before the team gets on to the field. You know, the coach gathers the people together and the team gets in a huddle. Coach comes along and says, guys, this is what we're going to do. The opposition is like this and this and this, and it's going to be like this. So our plan of attack and the way we're going to deal with this is... That's what's going on here with God's people. They're on the edge of the promised land. And God is saying through Moses, here's what it's going to be like. Here's what the opposition is like. And here's how you should deal with it. Remember the big story of God. Where are we at? God has promised three huge things to his people. One, a land. He's promised a land. Not yet. Thanks, Stewie. A land, a great crowd. So we've got land, people, a great crowd of people, lots and lots of people, and a special blessing. They'll be his special people. That's Genesis 12. God promises three things to Abraham, and so that the result is that God bless the whole world. Now, we've got two out of three right now as we hit Deuteronomy 7. God's people are huge. There's heaps of them. They are his. He has saved them to be his own special possession. But they're not in the land. Two out of three, not bad, but not enough. God always keeps his promises. So they're on the edge of the land. But there's a huge problem because there's people already in there. And they're bigger and stronger than God's people. And they're actually very happy, thank you very much, without God and without God's people. More than that. These people are called the nations in chapter 6 and 7. And they are bigger and stronger. Chapter 7 says these people are more numerous. They're the ites, if you want to look at them. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. All the ites. It's a good band name, the ites. They're bigger, they're stronger. But more than that, they are absolutely devoted to their gods. Every other god other than the Lord, their God. You cannot get in more opposition to the Lord your God. So God's people are about to enter that. They're about to go into a place not just selfish, but completely opposed to everything they believe in, to the God who made them and saved them. What are they going to do? Get a little bit scared, a bit frightened, withdraw? No, God says two things. Firstly, remember. Remember, God has destroyed his enemies and saved his people. Have a look at Deuteronomy 7, verse 17, printed in your handout there. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send hornets among them until those who are left and hide themselves from you are destroyed. Remember what God did. What did he do? What did he do to Pharaoh? To Egypt. What was the great trials that he's talking about here? What are the signs and the wonders? What are the mighty hand, the outstretched arm? That's all talking about God's huge salvation moment in the Old Testament, where he saved his people from slavery in Egypt and brought them through the sea. The signs and wonders, that's the plagues. That's God did a whole heap of stuff there to get them out of slavery. And then he parted the sea, a wall of water on their left and their right. And they walked through on dry ground. That's the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. Watch that old movie, The Prince of Egypt, if you want the whole story. Probably better to read the book of Exodus. You'll get a more accurate picture. God rescued his people, brought them out of slavery, parted the sea, led his people through into where they are right now, and he destroyed his enemies. So every time you hear with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, you're supposed to think God saves. God has saved his people and destroyed his enemies. And do you see what God's saying? That's what I did, but that's what I'm going to do. Have a look there, verse 18. What I did in the past, I'm going to do it again now. Verse 18, you shall not be afraid of them. You shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh, to Egypt, great trials, eyes, saw the signs and wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm, by which the Lord your God brought you out, so will the Lord your God do. He's going to do it again. He's done it in the past. He's going to do it again. And here's the sweet stuff for us. This is setting us up for the future. This is the same God. So what are we to do? Remember. That word remember. It just doesn't mean just remember and then move on. It means remember continuously. Have a mindset of remembering as you go. It's not recall to mind and then go. It's remember as you are going. That's the sort of God I am. Keep remembering. I'm a rescuing, saving God. I can remember being saved a few times in my life. Once I was 5 years old, and I was down the park, and there was a big lake at the park, and I was on the edge of the lake. It was straight down into very deep water, and I was kind of leaning over, looking at the tadpoles, five-year-old, you know, tadpoles, frogs, that sort of stuff. You're always on the edge. And all of a sudden, I don't know if I looked at this guy, Bailey or something, a bigger boy was walking past, and he just pushed me in. Off I went, in. 5 years old, I don't really know how to swim, and I'm struggling. And all of a sudden, I feel this huge hand. It was like the biggest hand you've ever seen in your life. Grab me and pull me back out and put me on the edge. But then I looked over and saw his other hand of this huge man had grabbed that dodgy kid who pushed me in. He'd saved me and he dealt with the problem. So later my mum told me that this guy was a family friend. We were at the park with them. Now, if I fell in again, I wouldn't, because I'm not that clumsy. But say I did, do you think that guy would save me again? Yeah, I think he would. That's the kind of guy he was. Big and strong and willing to save. That's the type of God the Lord our God is. He deals with those who oppose him, and he saves his people, and he'll do it again. See, God hasn't rescued us from slavery in Egypt. He's not clearing out Perth, Western Australia, or even any area of land for us here. Although Denmark is quite nice, close to the promised land, but not quite. Our rescue is much better because we've got a much bigger problem. Our problem, our enemy, our true enemy is sin and death. See, when we walk out that door, our biggest problem is not that there's lots of people who oppose everything we believe in. Our biggest problem isn't that everyone's selfish. Not that they're bigger and stronger and more dominant. Our biggest problem is that we are like them. I am them. I'm self-focused. I'm self-reliant. I think of me first. My default is to go with the flow. So what do I do? What is big enough and strong enough to deal with that? To deal with me continually turning away from God and continually living for myself? The cross of Jesus Christ is the only thing big enough, strong enough. At the cross, God deals with his enemies for us. He deals with it in full, wipes all our sin away. At the cross, God kills sin and death, clears it all away. Have a look here at Colossians chapter 2 on the screen for you. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Christians in the first century. What does he say? When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the record of debt that stood against us and condemned us. He nailed it, taken it away, nailing it to the cross. You see what God does with his enemies? He nails them to the cross. He pays the punishment in full. He takes his perfect son and pours all my punishment for my sin onto him. He deals with all my enemies at the cross. Our biggest enemy is not out there. It's in here. My sin is the problem. See, living in a world opposed to God and his people, that's not our biggest problem. Dying isn't our biggest problem either. Our biggest problem is dying unforgiven in our sin and standing before a righteous God. There's the biggest problem. We should be afraid of that. Here's the sweet news. Did you see it? God takes those enemies and he cancels the debt. He pays the price. They stood against us, condemned us. He's taken it away in full. He nails it to the cross. That is sweet, sweet news. Have a look at the enemies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 up there. 1 Corinthians 15. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? The sting of death is what? Sin. The power of sin is the law. The law condemns us. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Add that all up, what do you get? Living in a selfish world that's opposed to God, that's not the biggest problem. That's not what we should be scared of. We should be scared, most afraid of sin and death. So if you're not a Christian here this morning, welcome to church, great to be with you. I've got some brilliant news for you, but firstly, God has a huge challenge. Did you see it? It isn't trying to live a good life in a world that's sinful or selfish. You look out there, you know the world's selfish. That's not your biggest problem. Here's your biggest problem. What are you going to do with your sin? What are you going to do when you die and face your God? You can either try and tackle those things on your own, or come to Jesus Christ. If you haven't got Jesus covering your sin, dealing with your death, you ought to be scared. You ought to be very afraid. Come to him. We've got Christianity Explored coming up soon. It's a 4-week course at a cafe in Joondalup. Come and sign up at the info point. Find out about Jesus Christ. Find out how he can deal with all your enemies. If you are a Christian, can you see what God's saying to you today? Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't be scared about dying or even about that world out there. That's not what you should be scared about. You're forgotten. If you're scared, if you're worried, if you wake up on Monday morning and you're just, oh, I don't know, what am I doing? No, you're forgotten. Remember what God has done. He's destroyed his enemies. And he saved his people at the cross. That's the first half of the pep talk. God gives his people. They're parachuting in to an enemy territory. Don't be afraid, remember. Secondly, realize God is with his people and he'll bring them home. Have a look, verse 21 we're up to in Deuteronomy 7. You shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end to them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will throw them into great confusion until they're destroyed, and he will give their kings into your hand. And you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No one will be out, shall stand against you until you've destroyed them all. You see what God's saying here? The Lord is, and the Lord will. The Lord your God, he is in your midst. And he will deal with it all. It repeats as well, did you see it? He will, he will, he will. So that we get it. Oh, that's right, he will. Not only has God dealt with our enemies in the past, sin and death at the cross, but he's with us in the present and he'll complete it all in the future. For Israel, they're on the edge of the promised land. They're about to go in to this enemy territory. The people are bigger, they're stronger. They're about to face a brutal and relentless attack, opposition to their God and everything they stand for. It sounds familiar. God's saying, don't be afraid, I'm with you and I'll take you home. See, what would have been better than that man rescuing me at the lake? So don't get me wrong, I'm glad he rescued me at the lake. 5 years old, I couldn't swim. What would have been better? What about if my dad was there? What about if my dad rescued me, grabbed me, reached down and pulled me out, dealt with that dumb kid who pushed me in? And then he said, Matt, you're with me. Let's go home. That's what God does. That's who God is. He is a good father. He always rescues his people. He is always with his people, and he will always definitely bring his people home. See what's going on for Israel? Have another look at verse 22. The Lord your God will clear all these nations before you little by little. He's going to do it. Don't worry. You look out there and think he might not do it. He's doing it in a process. You may not make it into him at once. You might get eaten by all the beasts. God does it in his time for his glory and for our good. So you might be tempted to look outside and think, this world, man, God is not doing anything. Little by little, God is at work for his glory and for your good. Have a look at Matthew 28. Tells us exactly what God is doing. Matthew 28, so Israel are on the edge of the promised land. What are we on the edge of? We're on the edge of eternity. Jesus has died on the cross. He's rose again to new life. He's victorious. He's now with his disciples. And there's an air of expectation. What are we going to do? What is it? He says, don't hide. Don't be afraid. Go. Look at it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you always, God in your midst, even to the end of the age. So what are we going to do, North Coast Church, 11 o'clock congregation? What are we going to do right now, as God's people in the northern suburbs of Perth? Out there, it looks like the opposition is bigger and stronger. They even control the media. You turn on your TV, it's all about opposing God. God says, don't be afraid. My son Jesus Christ has destroyed all your enemies. He has saved you. He's come back from the dead. He's risen to new life. And what does he say? Go. Go and make my disciples. Go parachute in. Go. Tell them about me. Go. Tell them I am the way and I am the truth. And don't worry. I'm with you. God in your midst, the awesome and great God. by his Spirit through his word. Can you feel the assurance? Can you see the joy of your Father reaching down and grabbing you, rescuing you from drowning, putting you on solid ground, dealing with the opposition, and then saying, I'm with you. Let's go. Let's go home. So let's finish up. What does this mean for us right now? Well, it's just one thing. The text is very clear. See, God has clearly shown us where everything's headed. He saves his people. He destroys his enemies. He is with you, and he will take you home. So therefore what? Verse 26. Don't spend your life on things that will be destroyed. Have a look, verse 26. You shall not bring an abominable thing into your house and be devoted to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest and abhor it, for it's devoted to destruction. So here's the thing. And hear all this. Yes, yes, Matt. Yes, yes, yes. I'm not afraid. Yes, yes, I get it. I remember God has destroyed his enemies and saved me at the cross. Okay, good. Yes, 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 yes. I know. I'm not afraid. I realize God is with his people and he'll bring me home. Yes, you can say all that and live devoted to things that are going to be destroyed. You can say all that and be devoted yourself to things that won't last. What things are you devoted to? The proof's in the pudding. What things are you filling your house with? What things are you filling your life with? What things are you filling your desires, your joys? What dominates? What are you devoted to? Shows what you really believe. Don't be afraid. Remember, God has destroyed his enemies and saved you. And realize God is with us, his people, and he'll take us home. Let's pray.